Kanayim, who lived in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. He's buried in Tiberia, in the same compound where the Rabbi is buried. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, on the Chesed days, 28b, the Gemara says that when Yochanan ben Zakkai became sick, he was on his deathbed, so his students came in to visit him, and once they walked in and he saw them, he began to cry. And the students asked him, why are you crying? And he explained he has two paths in front of him, either to go to Gan Eden or to go to Gehenna. And he says, I don't know which path I'm going to be taken to. At the moment that he actually was passing away, so he tells his students to take out the different utensils in the house because of tumah, of impurity of a dead body. And he says to prepare a chair for Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. He saw that King Chizkiyahu was the one that was being sent from the heaven to escort him into Gan Eden. And there are three questions that are asked in this Gemara. First of all, why did he begin to cry only when his students came in? What was the trigger when his students walked in? Two, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the greatest of the great. Why did he really thought that he wasn't going to go into Gan Eden? What's this all about? And third, why was the Chizkiyahu the one that was sent to escort him into Gan Eden? So the Sefer Eliyahu is a commentary on the Ein Yaakov Maseches Brachos, and he explains as follows. He says, there's a benot another Gemara. The Gemara says in Gittin, and after development phase, another story about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Jewish people, during the Roman siege, were starving. The Gemara talks about the absolutely horrific conditions that the people were in, the Jewish people were in Yerushalayim. There was no food, they couldn't drink, they had nothing, they were deteriorating quickly. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said he's going to try to break through the siege and try to convince the Roman general, Vespasian, he's trying to convince him to make shalom, to make peace with the Jewish people, let food in, try to save everyone. But they weren't going to let him out. The Baryonian, the people that were rebelling against the Romans, wouldn't let him out. So what did he do? He staged his death. He actually put an animal, a dead animal, next to him so that he could even smell. They put him in a coffin. And they had his students, who knew that he was alive, carry him out. Because you can't have a dead body inside your Yerushalayim, and carry him out. And that's what happened. They carried him out, got out of his coffin, he went to speak to Vespasian. When he got there, Vespasian right away recognized how smart he was and how special he was. First he told him that he's going to become a king, that the king in Rome was going to die and he'd become the one that would take over. An announcement that actually came during their conversation. And two, he had an issue with the shoes, and he told him how to go ahead and put on his shoes. So he saw that he was a very, very wise man, and Vespasian said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ask me whatever you want. I'm going to give you what I want, because I'm about to leave to become the king. I have to go back to Rome, and I'm going to put someone else instead of me over here in order to destroy Yerushalayim. So before I leave, and before I put my replacement, go ahead and ask whatever you want. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, I have three requests. One was a Rabbi Tzadok, who was starving, was fasting for many, many years, hoping that the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't be destroyed, he had no food, to send a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadok. Two, Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi at the time, can you please spare him so that the dynasty of the king of David HaMelech would stay alive through the Nasi. And three, and this seems to be the most important one, because in the Avos Rabbi Nasan, when it quotes this story, only quotes this one. It says, I want you to save Yavne, the place of Yavne, Chachameha, and the sages, the people who are studying the Torah, in Yavne. And he was granted all three. The other Tanayim, and if you heard what Yochanan ben Zakkai did, said, how you missed the boat. You should have said, don't destroy Yerushalayim. Don't put another person instead of you. Don't destroy this place. Why did you go for these three other things, seem to be secondary things? Why didn't you try to save Jerusalem? Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I wasn't sure. I thought if I asked for too much, then they wouldn't give me that, and they also wouldn't give me anything less than that either. So the Ein Eliyahu says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's entire life, he never was sure whether he made the right decision. Should he have gone ahead and saved Jerusalem, shot for the top request, or what he did was correct to save the Jewish, the sages of Yavne? On his deathbed, he was scared. Comes along his students to walk in. The students were the Chachamim, the sages of Yavne. They walked in. When they walked in, that triggered. Was it right for me to save these people, or should I shop for more? And he began to cry. Comes along Hashem and sends this Yahu to escort him into Yochanan ben Zakkai into Gan Eden. What did that show? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Atzad Galen that in time of Hizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, you were able to check, the Chachamim checked, all the way from the Dan area of the north of Israel, all the way to Be'er Sheva, down to the south, and every kid were experts in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, and the laws of impurity, things that nowadays we don't even learn. Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda represented the pillar of Torah. And Hashem was giving a message that your decision was correct. What you asked for was correct, to uphold the Torah, that was the way to go. But what was the logic behind it? What was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thinking? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that if the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, the only way for the Jewish people to have continuity, for them to be able to live on and to grow and to develop and hopefully experience rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, was only if people would be able to experience the study of Torah, the knowledge that would allow them to perfect themselves and allow them to obtain what they need. Like the Al-Shaf writes, the Pasuk says, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti v'socham, Hashem says, make for me a temple, and I'll rest bitocham, in them. Bitocho lo ne'amar doesn't say you'll rest in the temple, you'll rest in the people. That every person has to make himself into a Beis HaMikdash, into a sanctuary. Based on what we learn, what we see, what we experience, that allows us to become a holy temple, and from there it expands to the actual temple across the street, to the Beis HaMikdash. Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that in order for us to continue, we need Chachamim, we need the sages, we need a place, we need Yavne. And only with that, if they could grow, they could experience the study of Torah, striving for perfection, would they be able to be a sanctuary and to bring the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av is the day that we have nowadays, we have a lot of programming. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there was no programming on Tisha B'Av. And now we have Baruch Hashem, we have a tremendous chus to hear from Mr. Lefkowitz in a little bit, and to see certain movies later on in the afternoon that hopefully will inspire us. But we can't get busy in the day just saying the kinos, just watching the movie. We have to take time for introspection and for reflection. Because at the end of the day, we have to What we have now, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we have? We have ourselves, our ability to grow, to develop, to perfect ourselves. Through learning the Torah, we have a tremendous fortune to be living and learning in a place of Torah. It's a very rare thing nowadays amongst the Jewish people. We have that. We're studying, we're learning. We have to make sure that it's not just robotic, just learning, gaining information, completing, but it's transforming us. It's allowing us to go ahead and become a Mishkan, for us to become a Beis HaMikdash. Kina number 9, which is what we're about to recite, is about the curses that are stated in Parshas Bechukosai about what will happen to the Jewish people if they don't keep the mitzvos. And right beforehand, the Torah talks about the good things. If we do the mitzvos, how everything's going to be great. And the pasuk says in Parashat Vav, Parashat Aleph, "V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem," Hashem says, "I'll place my tabernacle amongst you." "Lo sig al nafshi yasen," and I will not be disgusted. My soul will not purge itself of you. A little bit of a funny contrast. We're talking about when everything is good, when the Jewish people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're going to have blessing. You don't have to mention, "and I won't be disgusted with you." That's irrelevant if things are good then. So we see from here that there are two extremes. As long as we don't have that reflection, as long as we aren't allowing the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary to be within us, for us to grow and to perfect ourselves, unfortunately the opposite is what comes about. Tragedy is what comes about. So as we recite this Kina number 9, we should also try to reflect about ourselves, how we could become better, how we could grow, how we could allow all the wisdom that we bring into our lives to transform us, to become the Mishkan, the sanctuary that we're meant to be.